You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge. Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from Manhattan Beach, California, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, the guys. Matt Doyle, the armchair analyst. David Goss, we are hanging out in the player lounge. This is where it all goes down, guys. The Super Draft, MLS Combine, all these different titles. It's a ping pong table. It's orchids. It's everything you could possibly want. A pool table. Yeah,
right here.
It's like a 21-year-old MLS prospect.
Bunch of different flat screen TVs. I just like the fact that you guys seem relaxed, seem cool.
Oh,
you have the whole California vibe happening.
I put my feet up and I didn't even realize it. They just went straight up on the table, and I don't have my flip flops yet, but I'm planning on going and purchasing a pair. Do you feel different, Dave? Is this a helter skelter life in New York?
I got here, I felt really good. Then I woke up the first day, came to this hotel to do some work, and then spent about 8 hours figuring out where to park a car.
Uh-huh.
And I'm out. You're done. I'm good to be here for a week or two.
Uh-huh.
I can't deal with the parking.
Now let me ask you this: is it a fellow who suffers from the same condition that I suffer from, have you started putting SPF 50 on that little bald spot you got happening up there? Oh,
I'm a little bit more Mediterranean than you, I think.
You're
less of a burner, more of a tanner.
So.
I don't think so.
His olive skin can take the sunlight here in LA. Look, it's been a good time so far at the MLS Combine. We're just off the beach hanging out. That part is nice. It's also nice to see these 70-plus prospects go through their paces and coaching staffs try to figure out where they may land come January 13th. Remember, the Super Draft on Friday, noon Eastern. You can watch the live stream on MLSsoccer.com. We'll have Matt, Sasha Sarovsky, Siggy Schmidt, all manner of folks to break all this stuff down as the first and second rounds happen. Then the third and fourth rounds go down on January 17th. That'll be via conference call, but you can still track it, of course, right there on MLSsoccer.com. We're going to talk Super Draft and Combine in the second segment with our very own Sam Stashkel. He's out here with us as well and reporting on the ground. He's got some good nuggets from Atlanta on one Mr. Frank Lampard as well. We'll talk about all that in the second segment. Break down who were the winners of the first day of the Combine and who were the players that have a little bit of work to do. Of course, this is the final impression they're able to make on GMs, technical directors, head coaches, assistant coaches, owners, all the different guys that will help make these decisions on January 13th. Look forward to that in the second segment. But in the first segment, there is a ton of news, player news. It does not stop. The window is open. Teams are signing players. Teams are being linked with players. We're going to get to that right now. But first, a little bit more serious note. Ryan Hollingshead, you may know him as a winger defender for FC Dallas. A guy drafted highly, actually, out of UCLA in a former Super Draft. Took a year off to help build a church with his brother. A good Samaritan, you might say. He was hit by a car in the process of helping a motorist in icy conditions on Friday. He suffered some fractures to his cervical vertebrae. He's going to be in a neck brace for 6 to 8 weeks, but thankfully it looks like he will fully recover. Our thoughts go out to him and his family and FC Dallas. Quick recoveries, Ryan. We're sorry to hear this news. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he'll be back for the beginning of the season, a big part of their hopes to defend the Supporters' Shield this year. Some other news out of FC Dallas, though. Fabian Castillo, who played ahead of Ryan Hollingshead at times, that deal is done. He's gone to Trabzonspor, and they made it happen.
You feel comfortable saying that there, Wiebe?
Huh? I did.
He's transferred to where?
No. Trabzonspor. Is that,
boom,
that better?
2 for 2.
That's better? Okay. Anyway, they paid the money. We knew that was a possibility. We thought maybe he could go back to Dallas, although that would probably be a scenario in which he was flipped. Fabian himself came out and said, hey, I'd love to go to Club America, and we don't know that that will not happen. Certainly, it's a smart move for this Turkish club to complete the deal in case they are going to move him on. What does this mean for FC Dallas, though, guys? Is this is the inevitable move we were expecting. They've already brought in his replacement, but the Castillo era, it seems, is officially over.
Do we have a cash register sound effect that we could put in? That's what it means for FC Dallas. I think that when it happened and the way it happened over the summer, they knew they had to move on. They knew that he wasn't going to come back. Now, there was some idea that he, you know, that Trabzonspor might not be able to pay off the whole fee, and then so Dallas would get him back and then immediately flip him to Club America or something. That was a rumor, but in terms of what it does for the team, I don't think it has any effect on them. They've already got their replacement. They are full steam ahead, aiming toward CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, and you know, as you said, the Fabian Castillo era is over. It's a good blueprint for what to do in the future, though.
I was just going to say that. I think when you're at these events and you're around coaches and staffs and you're talking to folks, and this is the news on people's lips, but it's also, as you said, a blueprint. I talked to multiple people yesterday that said, hey, we're looking for a guy like this. South America, young, that speed, that direct play that we can develop and maybe flip down the line. He's a guy who I think leaves a pretty good legacy in this league as it pertains to building a roster, an MLS 3.0 or the modern MLS or whatever you want to talk about, where you're able to get a highly rated talent, improve him, and then move him
up. I mean, look what Atlanta have done with Villalba, and look at you know, the Ecuadorian winger / left back that Dallas just signed. I think we're seeing more and more young DPs, young players being signed sort of in that mold. I mean, the winger from Ghana that...
Latif Blessing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a new era for MLS, I think. And, you know, credit to FC Dallas for helping to bring it about.
There are some rumors going around here about a number nine, Dave, and that's something we've talked about ad nauseum for years, it feels like, with FC Dallas. Hey, we need to go and get out a proven goal scorer. And Blas Perez was that for a little while, but he got a little old, and then he moved on, of course. And Urruti was a good player for them last year, but Christian Coleman, a Paraguay number 9, he's 22, 6 foot tall, 11 goals in about 30 appearances last year for Nacional in Paraguay.
Which is more like we said, they're going to go out, they're going to get a young South American player, maybe one that's a little less proven, but this is more than what Gederson was, or Jederson. That was really a flyer on a player who
that
didn't give
stretch.
Them anything.
Yeah.
This is a player who's played first division soccer, who scored goals. He's played in Copa Sudamericana. He's played at a decent level, and he sounds like a fairly versatile forward. I have to admit, I've never seen him play. What do you hear about him?
Has.
There you go.
Fernando Clavio is the only person in the continental United States who's seen this guy play.
So, but it sounds like he's a decently versatile. You know, he can move pretty well and can finish. And they need, if he's not better than Urruti, if you have another player who's the same level as Urruti to take the pressure off him, to take the load off him, two guys to split that role, that just makes your team that much better.
And Arruti's more of that poacher, right? And I think kind of the early indications on Coleman here is that he's more of a not exclusively back to goal number nine, but more of a guy who can play a little hold up there and be somebody
forward.
Who's more of a fulcrum to play off. And that's the sort of position I think that can help a guy like Javi Moe. That's going to help a guy like Tesho. That's going to help Roland Lama, who's the guy who replaced Fabian Castillo. I mean, this is options for them, and they need depth. They definitely need depth, and we saw Carlos Ruiz do a job for them last year, and getting younger is certainly a good move for FC Dallas. Trying to move forward. They're trying to defend that supporter shield. Maybe go get an MLS Cup. Maybe go get a CONCACAF Champions League title. Big news for them there. Some more news going around. Philadelphia Union, they completed the signing. They got a number nine here. Jay Simpson, you may remember him from his Arsenal days. I don't believe he made a first-team appearance in the Premier League for Arsenal, so you may not remember him from those days as well. 28-year-old former Arsenal West Brom Hull player. He's currently in League 2 with Leighton Orient. They signed him on a 2.5-year deal using TAM. 36 goals in 99 games for Orient. 25 goals in 45 games last season. That's in like 3,500 minutes. It's a lot of minutes there. His goal-scoring record over the years, not extremely impressive on the face. He did have a 12-goal season, the Champo Championship, Bember Hala in 09-10.
Cali. He's Cali now.
I'm feeling it, man. I'm feeling it. I'm going to put sunglasses on just to do this show.
Weeby's pulling up from 40 for the rest of the show.
I am. Look, you're out here, Steph.
Steph
gotta,
Curry.
Gotta do it, man.
Splash.
Do it.
I was going to go with Lonzo Ball, but that's fine.
This signing could go some different ways. And so far, Ernie Stewart, you want to trust his judgment, and you want to think that he's got this team on the right track. So this could be a BWP. This could be a guy who is forgotten in a few years.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be one or the other. I mean, do you remember Ryan Smith from Chivas USA glory
days?
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was a KC Wizard before that,
and
he had some really good moments for the Wizards.
Yeah,
he
good
was
moments,
just hurt all
but
the time.
Not good seasons.
Yes, just hurt all the time.
I don't really get this signing. It seems like you said, you're going to have to trust Ernie Stewart and that staff that they see something in him that maybe translates better to MLS than it does to the lower divisions in England, because this resume is pretty underwhelming. But that said, I mean, like, you know, there is the precedent with Bradley Wright Phillips, who was mostly a lower division player, and he found his niche in MLS.
If you spend an international spot on a guy, right?
Last international spot.
He has to be a difference maker? He can't just be a squad player?
If you spend an international slot, your last international slot, and your TAM, and your team that struggled the entire second half of the season because you couldn't score on a forward, then yeah, he has to be a difference maker. Like, this is not... He's 28. He's not a kid you're getting at 18 or 19 and being like, oh, yeah, we could develop him over a couple of years and maybe we sell him. This is someone who has to fix a problem right now.
CJ Sapong, Charlie Davies, the two forwards there at the number nine right now in that formation. A lot of times looks like that 4-2-3-1. Do we think CJ could move wide? I mean, what does this indicate? You'd think he'd probably be a starter. At least that's the plan if you're paying him TAM money.
Yeah.
Does that mean CJ moves to the wing, where he played for Kansas City and was pretty successful?
Yeah, CJ had his chance last year to be a full-time starting forward for a playoff team, and as great as his hold-up play was early in the season and as respectable as his goal scoring was in the early part of the season, you can't play the last 4 months of the year and score one goal and expect to keep a starting job. So I think CJ's the backup center forward, and you know, maybe he ends up playing as a target winger sometime as well, like he did for KC back in the day. But he had his shot, and he didn't deliver, and Philly had to go out and make a move.
Interesting to see what Jay Simpson does in preseason. We'll be watching that closely. That could be a big signing, a big indication of what kind of success the Union have. Can they move up from that final playoff position that they occupied this year? LA Galaxy, of course, spending money. There's been rumors that they'll rein in the checkbook just a little bit, but I don't think.
Don't do it.
I don't want them to do it, but I do think that they're still going to fill those DP spots. That's at least the word on the street. It's looking like, according to Ivas Gosup, that TAM will be the mechanism that brings in Jermaine Jones. He's still not signed, as I said. If you follow him on social media, he's been all around the world. I believe Hawaii, all sorts of different places, having a good time with his family, getting a break so far this season. And it makes sense that he would sign for TAM there if he wants to continue his career. He definitely wants to live in L.A. He's had so many flights over the years. So we'll see what happens with that one. But there's another midfielder, box-to-box, defensive-minded guy, Jonathan Dos Santos. I don't know, his brother plays for L.A. or something. And there was been a lot of talk about those two getting together over the years. Ivis is reporting that L.A. are looking at him, Villarreal midfielder, Mexico midfielder, and that this could happen. 26, got the Mexico pedigree, I think about 20 caps with El Tri. Good signing for them, Dave?
Oh, it would be a great signing. It would be a great signing.
Oh,
one,
you were just waiting to jump in.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Come on. Of course it's a great signing. One, and we've had this conversation with Andrew Wiebe enough times about the Morris twins, but in that style of they grew
That's
up.
That's two Morris twin references in 2 days. Right?
They grew up at the Barca Academy together. They played a little bit at Villarreal together right before Gio came. If it makes both of them a better player, then it's a good move. Jonathan Dos Santos is versatile. He can play box to box. He can play as more as a holding mid. There was talk when he was first going to come here that maybe he could play as more of an attacking mid. I don't think he would, but he has the ability. He has the ability to play. He has the ability to see the pass. He's also young, and because of his versatility, you can pair him with a number of different people, so it doesn't lock you in. Like we were talking about Juninho last week, it doesn't lock you into who your partner for him has to be. Then on top of that, Mexican international, and he just got back into JCO's team. JCO's shown that he'll call up people from Major League Soccer. So I don't see any negatives, except for they both have had issues in the past, spotty issues that have happened. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Like, honestly, it seems like they've both grown out of that.
I agree.
He's 26, so he's not young. He's in his prime, which is, I think, what L.A. needed to do. I love the signing if it happens. As you said, his popularity and his stature with the Mexican national team – whatever contract they sign him to will pay for itself.
The only thing is he is playing for Villarreal. So you would assume there's going to be a decent transfer fee in there.
Is it Villarreal?
What did I say?
I don't know. I didn't. That's what I heard.
Oh, I don't know. Now I'm not going to say it again. He plays for the Yellow Submarine.
Yeah.
So he gets playing time from that team, and they're a team that's famous for being very steady economically. So they're not a team that needs to bail out quickly on things. So you would assume there has to be a decent transfer fee there.
6 starts, 15 appearances a season, 2 goals. The last couple seasons, he's made about 20 starts a year in La Liga. And that's a good step up for him after struggling for playing time at Barcelona, of course. We'll see what happens there. But getting younger in central midfield is something that we harped on
and
all last season.
I mean, you know them better than me, but there's a lot of young kids that we want to play for LA. Mm-hmm. Central midfield isn't one of them.
Right.
So he wouldn't be blocking
The only question I have for you guys on this, would you rather have Jonathan Dos Santos, or would you rather see the Galaxy go out and just buy Guido Pizarro?
What would I rather do?
For those who don't know, Guido Pizarro is the D-mid for Tigres in Liga MX, and for my money, the best player in that league.
But I think with the community LA, I think Jonathan Dos Santos
makes more economic sense. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see about that. There's also rumors from Jeff Carlisle at ESPN saying there's a 27-year-old French winger, Romain Alessandrini, who may be linked here. He was bought by Marseille for about 5 million euros a couple of years ago, had a couple double-digit goal seasons for them, but has fallen out of favor a little bit with Marseille this year. The last 2 years, he made about half the starts in the league.
He was linked to Sporting KC last year as
A guy that would fill a hole for them. Yeah. Emmanuel Boateng, I think we like, but I think we like as a sub probably, and the wing is a place that you want to see them improve, especially if Giassi's going to play up top. And Gio Dos Santos is going to be behind him.
Yeah, and I think that's what this means for Jassy Zardes, is the Galaxy officially see him as a number 9, and I like that. And I like I love the Dos Santos Zardes pairing. Whenever they played together last year, it was really good. Signing like Alessandrini, I mean, his resume is pretty darn good.
It is.
I think it would fit with the Galaxy. I think that probably means that Sebastian Legette would end up being a winger as well, so you have Legette's a little more defensive-minded. Yeah. Put him on one side, put Alessandrini on the left, and you have a team that's not symmetrical, but it's really balanced.
And symmetry, it must be said, is not the key to shape. That's one thing
Correct.
That we need to emphasize sometimes when you're thinking about your team's shape and who the signings are. You don't want to have like-for-like on both sides. It's not about identical.
Otherwise, you end up losing to Germany 7-1.
Oh, there it was.
What's up, Phil?
He was waiting for it.
Wow.
And if we're talking
about speed
on the flank, Sporting Kansas City is going out and getting it. And we mentioned CJ Sapong and his target forward years with them, and Kai Kamar kind of played the same role. When they won that title in 2013, they were athletic. They were probably the most powerful team in the league. Matchup-wise, really, nobody could match up with that front line. You had Teal Bunbury there as well, and, of course, Dom coming into his own in those years. They're kind of going back to that. Gerson Fernandez, we talked about, not really a goal scorer in his past, but they think that maybe he has that upside to him, and now they go out and get it. Latif Blessing, as we said, Pantheon name. Got to love that part. 20 years old. He was the MVP of the Ghana League last year for Liberty Professionals FC, which sounds like a place you get your taxes done.
No, it's a great team name. Are you kidding?
I like the team name, but I'm saying it sounds like it sounds like their mascot,
which I think is the biggest team.
Hearts of Oak is incredible.
It's the best team name in the world.
Some good. And Latif Blessing, God knows I love that name. 17 goals in his first professional season. They finally got this one done. It's been rumored for a long time. Sporting Kansas City trying to get younger, which they needed to do because the flanks last year were not productive apart from Jacob Peterson. Graham Zusi with just a couple goals too, I think. And then
right
had,
back Graham Zusi.
Yeah, Justin Mapp wasn't exactly that experiment did not work out.
Brad Davis.
Neither did the Brad Davis experiment. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get back to 2013, it feels like. A powerful, fast team that
these
challenges.
These guys are different, though, because if you think about those guys in 2013, the wingers, they were target wingers. They were, you know, Kamara and Sapong and Bunbury, who you would play these long diagonals to, and they would just abuse fullbacks. These guys are more, I mean, what we think about when we think about a modern winger, quick off the ball, tricky on it, and we'll see. I mean, if Blessing can actually be goal dangerous, which they missed so badly last year once Nemeth was sold. This could turn out to be a really good signing for Sporting KC.
I'm more saying on the defensive side of the ball. Nobody is Kai Kamara in the air.
That's correct.
I mean, if you look at his stats over the last 5-6 years, nobody can match those stats. Same thing with CJ Sapong in those wide positions. And you would see them, I said, just booted up there and run off those guys. But I do think last year they suffered in their pressure because they didn't have the players other than Peterson to put teams under pressure.
No,
these
didn't
guys
have,
may not be
they
physical
didn't have
specimens.
Athleticism.
Right. These but, they may not be physical specimens, but they can put opposing outside backs under pressure.
Right. I mean, these are guys that are in their primes or 19 years old when you're talking about in comparison to guys who are on the back ends of their career. And also, like Doyle said, these are skillful guys. They can take some pressure off Failhaber. They can take some pressure off pure creativity, and they can set up Dom at times. Hopefully they can score themselves. it's obviously a huge gamble taking a guy out of his country when he's 20 years old that's never left, which is one of the keys.
Was really, I think that was his first professional season.
Knowing how to move is a big part of it. And we're here talking to these kids, that a few players that came from Ghana to college, and they said the first week here was the hardest week of my entire life. So that part is going to be a big part of Sporting KC, the front office, the organization, the setup. Can they bring this player in and make him comfortable? Because if they can, at this age, he's another potential as a sell-on player like Nemeth that you could build your team off of, build your academy off of.
Daniel Saloy is coming back as well. He went back to Hungary to try to get on the radar of the Hungarian national team. He'll be back as well. They like him at center forward, but they like him at left wing a lot as well. So that's another guy to watch. Another rumor with them right now, Alexander Kovacic, a 25-year-old Serbian D-mid, could be a possibility there if they're looking to move on from Sonny Mustavar or have a different option. Watch out for that. One guy who we know is moving on in 2017, via loan, it came out today, Lucas Milano headed to Belgrano in Argentina on loan. That's where he came through the academy. This has been rumored for a long time. We kind of, the writing was on the wall. He wasn't productive enough for what they'd spent on it. There were some links to Boca Juniors. Obviously, those didn't materialize. Now Merritt Paulson is hinting that there could be a big-time DP winger coming in to replace him. That makes sense. And Fernando Audi is now going to be a DP for 2017 as well. This kind of trio of updates, Doyle, what's it mean?
I think they're just trying to do what they tried to do 2 years ago, except get it right this time. Milano has a lot of talent. I did think it was going to work for him last year, but they had to cut bait. I do think it's smart to loan him rather than to sell him outright, because if he goes to Belgrano and he has a good year, maybe they can recoup some of that $5 million that they spent on the transfer.
Also the club he grew up in, so the chance for him to feel comfortable for that to happen.
Right, and he has had interest from River Plate and Boca Juniors before. So
the physical tools, we know those are there.
Yeah,
he runs away from everybody.
Absolutely.
It's just final product that he's struggled for so far, and that's been tough. And we'll see if he can pick that back up in Argentina. Speaking of final product, in the transfer market right now and on the roster, Orlando seems to be lacking a little bit of it in that just kind of the – what is the – you know, what's the plan here? There are some holes, and there are some holes in central midfield. And by holes, I mean lots of holes, too many holes, no Chirino-sized holes.
But they also
too many
have
players.
Eight players.
That's what I'm saying, too many players. They're just, there's a lot of holes in there. They exist. They're just not having been productive. Now they're linked with Brian Acosta, who I think is another Honduran guy that we've talked about for a couple years. Is, you know, hey, somebody go sign this kid. 23 years old, 20 caps with the national team, 20-some caps with the national team. Does this mean Nocherino's gone? Does this mean Christian Higuita, who I love, is gone? Because they re-signed Servando Carrasco.
I do think it turns Christian Higuita into one of the best trade chips in the league. You know, teams are interested in him. He's
they
really good, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they have, I mean, they have
Will Johnson.
They still have Nocherino, who I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of. They have Tony Rocha, who's a young guy who plays in that role as well. As you said, Weeby, I wouldn't use the term hole, but there's an overload of options there.
My reference was off there.
This is a roster that's very much still under construction.
Kaká, of course, in that 10. We'll see what happens with him this year. They need a big season from him. Kevin Molino having some drama with TNT right now. You should go check out that news.
Everyone is having drama with TNT. I don't know much about the head coach of TNT. I looked a little bit into his past, but he is all over the map right now.
Yeah. Can we get a reality show, like a CONCACAF soccer reality show straight out of the...
He's dropped Kevin Molino, Jovan Jones, and Kenwin Jones.
Yeah.
Over the last, like, 6 months. Not even 6 months. It's wild.
Yeah, he also claimed that a player was came in smelling like alcohol, then claimed he didn't say it. That was another thing, so, yeah.
So pay attention to that. Go read about that. Minnesota United, some more rumors floating around with them. Vadim Dimidov is the recent name here. He's a Russian-born Norwegian. He captained Esky Brann. He brought them up from the lower division. He's kind of bounced around a little bit. Real Sociedad, Frankfurt, Celta Vigo. He's 30 years old. Not a DP. I can't imagine he would be a DP for them, but he fits kind of that leadership mold in a, you know, in a position that they need, center defensive mid, center back, and a guy who probably won't break the bank.
And fits that style of signing. That would be the fifth or sixth TAM-level signing, Calvo, Ramirez, Ibarra. That's the type of Johan Venegas. That's
Ramirez and Ibarra TAMs?
But I'm just saying that money level of not DP, but –
300
yeah.
to, you know, maybe 450-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are the players that they're building around right now. And I've not seen him play, but Christian Hennage came online. He said he's seen him play. He wrote a little piece about him and said very similar to what Nicolai Nice brought to Columbus. He said he's less physical, maybe as a center back. He sees him as a center mid. And like you said, a guy who's captained his club team, experienced, steady head in that holding midfield role, I think would be pretty good
Russian
for them.
Norwegian, I think he can deal with the weather, too.
Probably born in Latvia.
Cold's not going to get to this guy, probably.
How many Latvians are there in Major League Soccer?
Let's go look at the northern reaches of Europe for Minnesota United.
There's one in the NBA.
Remember, they have the first pick.
3-6 Latvia. That was all I was thinking.
3-6 Latvia? Oh, my God. I love that reference. Look, they have the first pick in the Super Draft. We'll talk about that with Sam Stachko coming up after the break. To continue on, though, Colorado Rapids, they've got some rumors running around them. Gilbert Kumsen, who's a 20-year-old Ghanaian winger playmaker, has been in Norway for a year here. He led them in assists, according to Ghana Soccer Net, so take that for what it's worth. 3 goals, 10 assists last year for a mid- to lower-level team. They also signed 2 homegrown players middle of last week, Courtney Ford, Denver defender, and Ricardo Perez, Creighton midfielder. Those are good moves for them. Give him a good pub.
I like Perez,
in the city.
By the way. I've seen him play a couple of times. Really good touch, good vision.
How can you tell that a midfielder is good if he plays for Creighton? They just boot it long every time.
I can tell because they were so much better when he was on the field than when he wasn't. So if that's all I have.
But outside
Elmer Bolovich,
outside, you know, a little bit of a tricky player outside in Kumsen. Is that a position of need for them?
It is. I mean, if you look at their wingers, they don't have a ton. I think it's just Marlon Harrison and Dylan Turner returning from injury because Papa's gone. They haven't signed Sebastian Letou yet, and I think that Shkelsen Gashi is going to play underneath as a second forward, which is his best role. So I think that this actually makes a lot of sense for them, and I hope it happens. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Boom, boom, boom. That's the trade bell right there. We just had one come through. The Timbers just got a 4th-round pick in this year's Super Draft from Sporting KC for Christian Valeski, who you probably aren't very familiar with. He was the Timbers' 32nd overall pick in 2015 Super Draft. So there's a trade for
him. He was also the leading goal scorer for the Rochester Rhinos when they won USL Cup 2 years ago.
And USL knowledge drop.
Yeah, no, he's actually a strong, mobile forward. He was a guy that, when he got drafted by the Timbers, thought he'd play more for Rochester but could have stayed in MLS if he wanted to. And I'm pretty sure he was the number one player at the Combine 2 years ago. He won player of the Combine and whatnot.
There you have it. Dave Goss, that's why we have you, man. That's why he's here, baby, here in the MLS Player Combine room, hanging out. We're in the Player Lounge. Maybe we're going to play some ping pong between breaks here. Before we go, though, Chicago Fire, we talked about what they're doing. Dave was convincing himself they were a playoff team on the last show.
MLS Cup, I think, is what I said specifically.
Did you throw MLS Cup? Whoa.
I was kidding. Sorry,
Chicago
Fire.
Coming strong here. Velko Panovic is not closing the book on Bastian Schweinsteiger just yet. Nelson Rodriguez and Velko, of course, the decision makers there in Chicago. That's per Univision. Do you think that should happen? We haven't really got your opinion on that, I don't think.
No. I think that, like, Schweinsteiger at his apex was one of the best players in the world and one of my favorite players to watch in the world. But he hasn't been able to run for a year and a half. And for the amount that they're looking to pay out, see if you can get Guardado, who's 4 years younger and has a little more tread on the tire. Or, you know, Guido Pizarro, or something like that. Don't be the old team. You know, try to find... what works.
It sounded like originally, though, they weren't going to have to pay a transfer fee because Manchester United just wanted to get rid of him. So that may have made it more appealing.
Literally, that's Jose Mourinho waiting for somebody to express any interest and then being like, oh, actually, no, never mind.
Yeah.
Going to have to pay up.
So I it's a position of need, and it's a position that I agree with you. If they're going to spend money on, I don't know that you have to go in that direction.
Interesting rumor for them, though, out of Italy, a Torino midfielder, Joel Obi, Nigerian, 25 years old, played for Inter for a while, has a good number of caps with Nigeria. Center mid, could be that guy next to Juninho. We talked about a lot of different profiles being able to fit with him.
That's a guy that you go out and get. That's a guy who would make a lot of sense to me.
Frank Lampard, also rumored. We'll talk to Sam Stachko about that, as well as some news around Atlanta United. When we come back from the break, the Super Draft, the Player Combine, going down right now in Carson, California. We'll talk about that, the winners of the first day, as well as the players who have a little bit of work to do. Coming back right after the break.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com. Or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Back now on Extra Time Radio from Manhattan Beach, California. We're here with the one, the only, Stashk. Sam Stashkill up in the building. Matt Doyle, David Goss, you guys are okay, but Sam's the main event here. What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm thrilled to be on this show. That was a pretty sick intro, even though I'm fairly confident none of our listeners know who I am.
But they shouldn't. They absolutely should not.
Don't listen to Matt Doyle.
They call him what he is, former Chicago Fire beat writer.
Yeah.
Sam Stashkill.
That's one of the kinder things you could call me.
Yeah. Hey, look, Sam and I go way back here. He stayed in an apartment in Brooklyn that I looked at 1 year later. I went and that's
basically
where he
makes you guys brothers.
Yeah, basically. That's a railroad. City it was the railroad of all railroad apartments. It was an amazing place. Look, live streams, of course. Goss, Doyle, myself, Siggy Schmidt, Tuesday. 4:15 Eastern, you can listen to two games, watch two games, hear what we have to say about the players, everything else going on. On Thursday, the final games at the MLS Player Combine. 1 p.m. Eastern is the start there. Live streams at MLSsoccer.com. And then on noon on Friday, January 13th. Don't know where the two came from there.
We want to stay in L.A. for two more weeks.
Oh,
that's
that
why.
Wouldn't be terrible.
He's trying to move the draft
trying to
back
sell that.
So that
let me
he
get a little
more
of that expense account Monday. Live stream at MLSsoccer.com. That one's at noon. Make sure you watch that one. Let's talk about day one of the Combine, guys. There was, there were two games that were a little bit lopsided. The first more than the second, Team Control taking down Team Chaos 3-1. We'll start there. Daniel Johnson, he's the star of the Combine. University of Louisville, all the coaches are talking about it. He was a stud. He created some goals, took players on 1v1, did some work defensively.
Yeah, I said in my column afterwards that this was the best 45-minute performance I've seen from a field player at the Combine, and I've been to five of these, I think. The only other player who comes close or maybe even surpasses it was what Andre Blake did when he was at the Combine. But Johnson, he was a guy who was on the first-round bubble. I think he has played himself solidly into the mix for a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10. And it's not just because of his play, his vision, his dribbling, his ability to stretch the field off the ball, but because if we look at the physical testing on Saturday, he did very well there. He tested out as one of the fastest and one of the quickest wingers available, and that's what teams look for. You got to have that ability to create separation.
For sure. I loved Johnson yesterday. I thought he was the best player by far on the day.
Yeah.
Interesting story, too. Actually got offered a contract by West Ham a few years ago. He was in the West Ham Academy for like 3 years, but unknowingly violated some FIFA child labor laws. So
wow.
Was not allowed to join the West Ham U18s. Kind of a whole thing. Came back to the States. He's from Georgia. Went to Maryland for a couple of years, didn't really work out there. Went to Louisville, got himself back on the radar. Second team all ACC and third team in his junior and senior seasons, I believe. But yeah, really interesting kid. I just look at him and he is tiny. He's 140 pounds.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, he's a winger, so it's not a huge deal, but he'll need to bulk up a little bit.
And I think part of why he was so good is he played in the midfield alongside Jackson Ewell and Julian Gressel, who were two of the most composed passers, movement, covering ground. Both of them are already going to MLS. Both of them are already signed. And that made his life much easier.
Ewell's a GA, and he'll be a top five pick. He had a goal off an assist from Johnson. Gressel is a German kid who's going to turn 23, so he's a little bit older. But he's already signed to a contract by the league. He also tested out better than expected athletically. And look, I know people don't want to hear that. Don't say, oh, what matters is you can move the ball. Well, yeah, but for every ounce of athleticism you lack, you have to be that much better technically. And this kid, Gressel, has a little bit of everything. The other guys on that team, Zico Lewis, another guy who was already signed to MLS, was excellent on that right flank. He's a left-footed player, full Bermudan international. He had a goal and was dangerous off the ball as well. And then the forward, Guillermo Delgado, who was just like running that offside line, like classic Pico
Inzaghi. That
guy was
fun. That guy was fun.
He was so good for the duration that he was on the pitch, and he gave nightmares to Brandon Aubrey.
One of the guys we're going to talk about as well is Lalas Abubakar, center back, big athletic center back from Ghana. I'm interested to see him match up against Delgado because Delgado's obviously going to take a step up in a physical nature, the players that he's playing against. So that could be a good
and
matchup.
You want to see Abubakar play against guys who want to get in behind him. Everything was in front of him for Team Copa. Now, Team Copa did lose 4-0 to Team Tango. Team Nemesis, unfortunately, that name got pulled off the table.
Because we spent an episode saying that.
Pretty disappointed about that, I'm not going to lie. But a couple braces there in that game from Goldsmith. And then Jonathan Lewis, the new generation Adidas signing, the most recent signing out of Akron. Winger, played on the left wing in this game, looked pretty good. His speed, his separation was very good. He was one of the winners, certainly, I thought. Let's talk a little bit more about some of these other players that we'd put in that category. Adonijé Reed. Looked really good. The young teenager out of Canada, one of those first two signings along with Shamit Shome, Generation Adidas from the Great White North. Once he dropped back, he played center forward to start, just was not big enough to go up against one of the Hume twins. But once he dropped back and got in space, looked like a real player.
He did. He had a good first touch. He had really excellent balance and acceleration. That low center of gravity helps him. And the fact that he is a because of the Generation Adidas Canada thing, he counts as a domestic player for every team in MLS. It's no longer just Canadian teams. So he's a guy who I think will go probably in the tail end of the first round.
And he's a guy who has a ton to gain here, simply because these teams do not know a ton about him. He played in League One Ontario. There's not a lot of tape on the kid. And talking to various coaches, executive scouts, all that, they're like, we don't know much about this dude. We're going to look at him this week, see what he shows. So he has a lot to gain here, perhaps more so than any other player who or a regular four-year college guy who there's a lot of tape on.
Yeah, because a guy like Johnson, even as shocking as his performance was, part of that is because teams have seen him for the last 4 years. They know they have a better idea of what he can do and what he can't do. With Reed, it was a little bit out of the blue. He did set up the best moment for Team Tango. Yeah. With the penalty, it was his slip pass through to Brian Wright that led to that for
Team Copa, I believe.
Team Copa, you're
Team
right.
Copa.
Team Copa. Not as good
Sorry,
as Team Nemesis.
I really cannot resist.
Reed looked like a talent, and he's just 17. Somebody's going
to
take him.
No doubt about that. We've got to this point of this segment without Doyle mentioning Jacob Nerwinski, so go ahead and drink some Kool-Aid at home or whatever it might be.
I mean, he tested out as one of the most, if not the most athletic player at the combine, and he showed it. He was able to use his speed to, from right back to overlap, get into the final third. And then once he got into the final third, I thought he made better decisions with the ball than I was kind of expecting. He has done some of that for UConn over the last 4 years, but for whatever reason, he was really sharp yesterday. I think he's a guy who's maybe on the first round bubble, but there are, you know, with all these things, the body of work from your college years does outweigh what you show in the combine. And people know that he's going to need to have a better touch and a better pick his head up a little earlier and find the right final ball a little more often.
Physical testing, he thrived top five in the shuttle, in the 30
top five
dash.
In all three, yeah.
Yeah, and the vert, same thing with Chris Aduyatsum, who is the right back out of Maryland. Achim, I see you looking at me there, Dave. I missed it. I knew you were going to come that way. He played for Team Control, but he looks like the best right back in the draft, Sam. He had some moments here. He didn't start, but physically, he looked really good. Still the question mark with him, probably that final ball.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I watched him a lot closer than I did most of the players. I kind of singled in on him for a large stretch of the time he was playing. He looked good. He got forward well. He hit in a couple of really excellent crosses. From difficult
positions.
It's not
really his game either, so it was interesting to see him do that.
Defended pretty well. I think he got caught high one time. But, you know, with these guys, they don't really have their match fitness. So it's hard for them, if they're making all these forward runs, to get back every single time.
And
so
the reason we keep harping on the physical stuff, for me, it's the agility one. The 5-10-5 shuttle, mm-hmm. That's the one that's the most important, especially for a fullback, because a big part of your job is defending in isolation and keeping guys in front of you. And that is what made Keegan Rosenberry's year last year, when he was able to keep guys like Ignacio Piatti and Giovanni Dos Santos, Robbie Keane, some of the most inventive and elusive dribblers in the game in front of him. If you have that and you have good coaching, you're going to be able to play.
And Adoy Achim made some stand-up tackles yesterday.
Won some physical battles, won some 50-50s, no doubt about that. Some other winners, Brant Bronico had a nice day, had a couple good balls setting teammates up. Abu Dunladi did not get a goal, but he hits like a, you know, like a safe of a shot. I mean, that thing is heavy. It is knocking people out of the way. He set up the second goal from Jonathan Lewis, a guy that I thought physically and speed of play, speed of thought, runs a step ahead of everybody yesterday.
Yeah, he was really impressive. I think other than Johnson, he was probably the best on the day. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he was the first true winger off the board. I could see him going number four if Houston falls in love or if they move the pick. Look, he's part of the USU-20s, and he's signed to that Generation Adidas contract for a big reason, and he showed it yesterday.
That'd be Lewis. Dunlady, though, maybe top three pick. We'll get to who we think are in the top three in just a second. A couple players with some work to do, perhaps. I think Ja'Cory Hayes probably falls in that. He had a good start to the game playing that holding midfield position, but not really where coaches want to see him, Sam. He's got an opportunity in the second 2 days to maybe move up the field and show what he showed at Wake Forest.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of guys from a couple of different teams today, and they are they both said that Hayes is a guy that could drop on Friday. They're a little bit concerned about where he's going to play. They didn't really view him as a number six just because of his size. They had some concerns there. He's not a huge guy. Not that you need to be huge in that position, but they were a little concerned that he's not really stout enough, I guess. I like Hayes. I think he's a good player. But there's a little bit there of where do you line him up. And in that position in the midfield, if you don't have a home, it can be hard. And so I could see him dropping Friday for sure.
Brandon Aubrey, a guy that we talked about a lot in the lead up to this, a player who, you know, was probably the top center back as a senior signed. He's one with a contract out of Notre Dame, Dave, but it was shaky. We wanted to see how he would be on the turn. We wanted to see how he'd be 1v1. Was not a good day for Team Chaos. But, you know, in the end, this is one he'll want to forget. He has two more days, but this was not the best he has.
Well, we said, and we were talking yesterday, and we said, yeah, you know, it struggled, maybe struggled with the partnership with a new player, struggling with the midfield in front of him. And Ziggy goes, yeah, but the other team figured it out. You know, other center backs here figured it out. So he has to find a way. I think showing the ability to bounce back on day two will show mentally what he brings. But as for all the bad moments there were, if you go back and look at the highlights, Guillermo Delgado beats him at the end line to set up the penalty kick. That was the worst moment, because that was the – sometimes as a center back, you're going to be in this situation. A player in Delgado who's quick but isn't known as the fastest player here and isn't a guy that came in highly rated, and he took him to school on that.
And it was a moment, if you're a coach and you're looking at this guy seriously, as soon as they got isolated on that end line, your eyes perked up and you said, who's going to win this battle? And when he lost it, that wasn't a great moment for him. Any word from coaches out there? Is this a potential reason for him to drop? I mean, there had been rumors top 10 here.
I think he's still a top 10 player. Like I said, the volume of content that they have on this guy, because he's played at Notre Dame for the last four years.
He started for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was the top-rated senior center back coming into this thing for a reason. So I don't think he's going to drop out of the top 10, but it'll be tougher to justify taking him, say, at number four, which I think was in play if he had really shown in this combine.
And we should note, he does have two games left to show well.
He's got time.
This could be a blip on the radar, all that. But, yeah, just a general point on the combine. Teams fall into the trap of taking too much away from this event. And when you have 4 years of tape on a dude, rely on the tape. Yeah. Don't rely on the All-Star game with a guy who met his teammates 2 days before.
Right, especially if he's playing for Team Chaos. I feel
Sorry.
Like that was just...
Please try again.
I can't do it like you.
Team Chaos.
For that team, like, you know it's going to be a mess at the back. Plus, they dressed them in orange, so they were supposed to be orange cones.
Yeah.
And they were. Like, Delgado
they
treated
like
them
it.
Like one.
Definitely lived up to their cone status there. Let's talk about the top three. That's really, historically, top five-ish is where you're getting difference makers from. And, of course, you got to hit the picks the right way. Right now, Jeremy Ewobese out of Duke, he was the first player signed in this draft class. Abu Dunlady and Miles Robinson, who we haven't yet talked about, are kind of the assumptions there, Sam, but you're hearing some things from Atlanta about number two pick. Of course, Minnesota has the one. Chicago's at the three. What's going down there? How do you think it'll roll?
Well, there's always a little bit of interest in every pick at the top of the draft. And, you know, Atlanta – they say that they're getting some offers for number two. They say they're willing to trade because they have the number eight. But, you know, that could be posturing too. That could be trying to send a signal to other teams. So who really knows? Until you get later in the week, that's when concrete things start to form for these sorts of deals. I do think Ewobese is just about a lock for number one. He was at the USU-20 camp this weekend. I think he's arriving Monday night. And we'll see if he plays on Tuesday.
He's not gonna play.
We'll see if he plays on Thursday.
He's gonna be the Jack Harrison.
I don't think he's gonna play. Yeah. And if he's not playing, and if he's showing up to the combine late, well, that probably means that he's heard something from a certain team that, you know, we're gonna pick you. So, I think Ebo Bisi will go number one, and number two, you know, we'll see what Atlanta does.
I just think Dunlady's a much interesting one to me because who's gonna value just pure athleticism and ability? He's been injured in the past. There's a few different questions. Some say he has a great mentality. Some people that we talked to say that he doesn't. We don't know. But he has, I think, the potential to be the best player in this draft. So it's interesting to see who really wants that.
Yeah, the eye test, he certainly passes that one. And that shot, man. And he's not afraid. That's the one thing I really liked about him. Yeah. It's not just the physical ability. It's the mentality of, like, I'm the man. I'm going to go get this goal. I'm going to take this guy on. I'm going to do some tricky stuff, and I'm going to try to get him behind. I thought he was maybe a little bit of an iffy call away from drawing a penalty. Miles Robinson, on the other hand, we didn't get a ton of looks at him.
He had one poor clearance, but the rest of it was pretty clean. Our good friend Elliot Holmes was a big fan of his on the day. He did show some recovery speed. One time, I think it was Brian Wright almost turned him and was able to and Robinson was just able to recover and you know, take care of that danger. His distribution was okay. I thought he was in the right positions off the ball. He just looked solid. Didn't look anything beyond that. I would struggle to take him number one, but I think for a team that maybe wants young, quality depth in central defense, he makes a lot of sense at number two or three.
We'll get another look at these players on Tuesday as the MLS Player Combine rolls on. Live streams, watch them. 4:15 Eastern is the start. Then on Thursday, the final two games of the Combine starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. MLSsoccer.com is your home for those streams and all the coverage. And then remember, January 13th, Friday, noon Eastern, MLS Super Draft rounds 1 and 2 live on MLSsoccer.com. We're going to go to the break. We come back right into the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Recognize a real dawn when you see one. Sipping on booze in the house of blues. I'm going back to Cali.
Matt Doyle, Sam Stachel. And if it were up to him, we would have come into this segment without any music.
We would have played Call Me Maybe, which I was okay with.
Yeah, Call Me Maybe.
Doyle solved it. Call Me Maybe is, however, professional motto here. Any GMs, coaches, anybody with any rumors, hit up Sam right now. Do
PR
it.
PR staffs, call me maybe
all
or
them,
never.
You know, however you want to do it. Calls. We're into the mailbag. Remember, Super Draft on Friday, noon Eastern, the stream, MLSsoccer.com. Tuesday and Thursday, 4:15 Eastern on Tuesday. MLS Combine Day 2 streams. Dave, myself, Siggy Schmidt, Matt Doyle, and then on Thursday, the final day of the streams, 1 p.m. Eastern is the start. What's in the bag, Dave?
I just want to point out that so Doyle comes on for one half and Siggy Schmidt comes on for the other. There's a chance that by the end of this, it'll be just a full-on lobotomy where me and Weeby have picked every piece of knowledge outside of Siggy Schmidt's
head. I was thinking about that during that stream because, you know, there are times when the quality in the Combine is lacking. And so we just started telling stories and getting Siggy to tell stories. And I was like, I mean, I hope we don't have to just repeat all of these. That's a distinct possibility.
You got four more games to go, guys.
No, I'm not worried about it.
What? That's how many? What? That's like, yeah, we got four more games. 360 minutes.
At least we can do math. So we have that
I
going
struggled
for us
there.
Throughout.
I was like,
let's go.
That was some journalist math in action.
There's no rescuing.
No, my phone went unlocked.
Also,
my calculator.
The day three games are only 40-minute halves. So you're wrong.
Oh.
You know what's 40 minutes long? The mailbag. Let's move to the mailbag. Is Harold Cummings a starting caliber player for Quakes?
He was before he got injured. A couple years ago, I think he was playing in Spain, and he was excellent. And I think that if he is 90% of what that guy was, then, yeah, he's a starting caliber central defender. But I don't think I've seen him play all that much since he came back. Was it ACL? I think it was. So we'll have to see. And I remember he did go on trial with the Sounders last year in preseason, and they didn't sign him. So it has to be a little bit of a worry for a Quakes fan, but in general, I like the signing.
Moving on to Weeby not knowing how to pronounce things. Just finished listening to your latest podcast, realizing you were talking about Philadelphia Union acquiring Jorginho Wijnaldum, and you weren't sure how to pronounce it. The Dutch write a Y as an I and J put together. Thus, Wijnaldum is the same as saying, and then he spells it for us. It looks funny, but it's easy to pronounce. He said, P.S. I love the podcast, which is nice of him.
Yeah, Wijnaldum, Wijnaldum, Wijnaldum.
How did you pronounce it?
He didn't, try and pronounce it.
Yeah,
and he bailed?
Yeah, I bailed.
I'd like to apologize because I didn't have it in front of me, and I didn't know who he was talking about, and I just assumed Weeby was a professional.
Yeah.
And so we finished, and my papers were open, and I looked and was like, texted him and was like, he's the brother of the player that plays for Liverpool. It's pronounced Wijnaldum. And Andrew's like,
good specifics on that Liverpool throw out there.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. By the way,
Andrew's more of a League MX guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of that, sort of, Happy New Year's and Happy Holidays. This is late. Quick question about the Club World Cup. What would it take for an MLS team to host?
I don't know that it's teams don't
teams
host.
Teams don't host.
They,
yeah.
they bid. And so it's one of, like, Japan has it now, I think.
Yeah.
Dubai had it.
It seems like it rotates.
Morocco
Dubai
had it.
Yeah, I think you bid, and I don't think it's per tournament. I think it's in like 4 or 5 year blocks.
But I think the point is an MLS team would automatically qualify if
right.
The
and it's something that I've talked to, I've written about before for the league website. And like you could just hold the Club World Cup in Southern California. It would be awesome. Or in Texas, just in terms of, you know, you could, if you put Barcelona in. The
anywhere
Dallas,
in the world.
Yeah, they'll sell out 100,000, but you still have MLS stadiums like you know BBVA or Frisco Park or Toyota Park in Frisco that can hold like have a good atmosphere for when the New Zealand team shows up. So it makes a lot of sense.
You know it's Adelaide United. Come on. Don't
Adelaide United.
Don't just right? not pronounce the name because you don't want
to.
Wait,
is Adelaide in New Zealand? That's
No, there's the
no,
there's the Oceanic
Australia.
Confederation too. You got
wow.
to watch out for
Whoa.
Them guys.
Shocker guess, man.
We're going deep on the Club World Cup.
Right okay, now. I'm going to move on now because I'm confused. Jared Bushman, this one's for you, Stage. No Beckerman at January camp. Thoughts?
I think that's probably the end for Kyle on the national team. I mean, he's getting up there in age. Nick Raimondo got called in, so Bruce didn't forget about RSL.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Bruce is
think
here for RSL.
I think that's probably about it for Kyle. And you know what? He hadn't. One of the few guys who probably really enjoys Jurgen Klinsmann because that Jurgen gave Kyle his national team career.
Yeah, and Kyle gave Jurgen, I think
a ton.
I think that group
except
stage
in that Belgium game it didn't give him much.
Well, I think that group stage in 2014 would have been an absolute tire fire without Kyle Beckerman in there, and as we saw, as soon as they took him out against Belgium, we gave up 45 shots.
Like one of those great stories, I think, in U.S. soccer, a guy who didn't get looks for a long time and had to be a little salty about it, finds his way. I mean, that's what you have to remember with this January camp, right, is that some of these guys will contribute, even if it's somebody who hasn't been in there much. Do we have any thoughts on snubs? I mean, who are the guys in there that
when you call 32 guys, can you really
have
snubs?
I know, but
that's
then we
what
get a
I
bunch
was
of,
saying.
Then we get tweets about it, and people are like,
well,
whoa.
Lee Wynn is
Doyle
one.
Doyle brought up a good one. Yeah. Finley's a good one.
Ethan Finley.
Finley, yeah.
But Finley didn't have a great year last
he
year.
He didn't.
He still had like 8-8.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty good. I mean, he struggled at the start of the year, but so did Dax McCarty. And Dax McCarty's in the roster for this one, even though he'd been on the outside looking in. So, that said, I mean, nobody should burn down Soccer House because Ethan Finley's not there. If
no one should do that anyway.
Yeah.
One guy,
I just want to throw it
enough.
Out there. Don't even
fair
think
enough.
About
the
it.
The one guy I would have liked to see the most that didn't get called in was Christian Roldan, actually.
Really?
Not
Sounders
I'm not
fans have gotten to you, too.
I'm not saying he's like going to go start for the national team or be a part of a roster in any meaningful way, but it's call him in as a young guy, let him kind of see what's going on, get him a little taste.
He'll get into the team for the Gold Cup, I bet. But I don't see him as being at the same level as some of the other guys that Bruce did call in, and it's already a huge camp.
And
fair enough.
I think we just go last one here. We have a Red Bull New York fan saying, I miss MLS analysts playing trumpet in 101. # sheds tear.
As cornet.
You played cornet?
Wow.
I have a trumpet, but I played cornet.
How many instruments can you play?
Now, zero. Ooh. I haven't played any of them in 5-6 years, but growing up, I played trumpet. Trumpet and cornet is just the same instrument. So, trumpet.
I've never even heard of a cornet.
Baritone horn and piano. You've never seen The Music Man?
No, actually, I have not. Gary, Indiana. I know that one.
Stish.
Millennials, I swear.
Yeah, we're the worst.
Team chaos here. Look, that's all we got for you today. Hope you enjoyed it. A lot of news going around at MLS. MLSsoccer.com is your home for everything you need to know about the league as we lead up to the Super Draft and the opening day coming up on March 3rd. That's not that far away. Tuesday, Thursday, Combine streams. Friday, the Super Draft. Noon Eastern is the stream time on that Super Draft. It should be a good time.
I just want to throw out there, if you want a reason to tune into the draft, we just talked about instruments. This is the type of quality you get. I'm telling you that Jacory Hayes plays the euphonium.
Whoa.
Also don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Is that like a xylophone or something?
So 4:15 p.m. Eastern time on MLSsoccer.com. You'll be notified.
I can't promise you, but I think Jacory Hayes might play the euphonium at the Super
His
Bowl.
Stock just rocketed back
just
up.
Boom. Straight to the top. Musical ability. Top notch. That's it for us. We will see you on Thursday. Have a good week, everybody.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.